Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This is Culture of the Kingdom, Session 7, Blessed Are the Merciful. And I'm so encouraged and challenged by this phrase, by this subject. I'm so personally impacted by it, as are you. I am so reluctant to do it, as are you. And yet there are so many rewards for being merciful. Jesus said, blessed are you if you're merciful. And so I just want us to hopefully walk away challenged this morning to do this. Again, I don't think it's valuable for us to hear ideas and let them come in an ear and out another ear and go on living like we never heard it. But for us to be challenged and go, I am totally not merciful. I think I hate mercy, except when it's shown to me. Like for us to have a revelation of where we're at realistically before the Lord on these issues, so that the Lord can do the heart surgery in us that is necessary to help us. Again, every one of the Beatitudes are a promise to be blessed. They're a promise, a guarantee from heaven. If you'll do this thing, you'll be blessed. So we want this. We want to learn what this is. One of the things that we've also seen here in the Beatitudes as we've been looking at them each week is we've been finding that each one of these character attributes is a window into what God's like. It's not just what he said that he wants us to be like. It's a window into how he is, how he thinks, what he wants. And this beatitude of blessed are those who are merciful, he is inviting us into being merciful because he is merciful. It's what he's like. It's what he's about. And so I want for us to really take that in this morning. So Matthew 5:7, if we could put that verse up, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. This is such a rich statement. It's got so much investment into us. It's what brought us into this room this morning and what's brought us into the kingdom. And so for us to be able to stare into mercy is my hope this morning. Now, many of you know in Exodus 33:19, you can put that up there if you want to, Cherish. In Exodus 33:19, this is one of, not the first, but it's one of the first descriptions that God gives us of what he's like. It's one of the first times where God declares attributes about himself, where he's describing himself to his people. He's having this encounter with Moses on the side of the mountain here, and he's describing attributes of what he is like, and it's one of the first times that God does this. And so I just want to read it real quick. The Lord said, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. This is God declaring his name and saying a significant component, a significant portion of his identity, tied up in his name is he is the merciful God. He is the God who owns compassion. He says, I'll show it to who I want to show it. He says, I'm going to do it the way I'm going to do it. I am wise, my counsel, my ways are perfect, and I will show mercy to whom I want to show mercy and compassion to who I want to show compassion. I am the Lord. This is who I am. This is what I'm like. And Moses, I want you to know I'm like this. I want for you as my ambassador to make sure that the people of God know I'm like this. I'm a God who owns mercy, who owns compassion. I'm all about it, and I do it the way that I do it in a perfect way of administration of wisdom. This is God declaring, I am merciful, okay? Now, it's not just that he says that this is what he's like. We've got so many verses of scripture that are declaring that he's not just like this. It's not just innate to him. He loves to lavish his mercy on his creation. So we've got a few verses here I want us to look at. Deuteronomy 4:31, Nehemiah 9:31, and then also Daniel 9:9. These are descriptions of how God shows incredible mercy towards us. Deuteronomy 4, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. just thinking about the reality of this one that we interact with. He is one who we can trust that he's merciful. So on those days where you're really feeling like a failure, on those days where you've really blown it, on those moments where you really need the mercy of God, he says, you can trust that I am the merciful God, that I will be with you, that I will show you that mercy. I have abundance of mercy. The Lord your God is a merciful God, Nehemiah 9. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. Merciful. I think about all the accusations that come against God in our life. The accuser constantly standing to say he's judgmental, he'll be harsh with you, he won't receive you. That's not the truth. The truth is he is a merciful God who loves to have compassion. Daniel 9:9, the Lord your God is merciful, he is forgiving, even though we've rebelled against him. He is merciful even when you've been a big dummy. He is merciful and compassionate. It's not just a way that he acts, it's who he is, it's innate to himself. This is who he is, this is how he is merciful and he is compassionate. This is such good news for you and me, who some days we're a little bit better than others on the particular of rebelling against him, but we have those rebellious moments, don't we? Those moments where he says, I need you to do this. And we say, no, we throw our little two-year-old fit. We go, I'm not doing it. You can't make me. And the Lord starts to nudge us. And he's saying, I'm really drawing you. I'm really needing you to respond to me in this area of your life. And we're just the kid on the ground, temper tantrum city. If you need a picture of it, just watch my son after we don't give him whatever he wants. Okay? We're like that before the Lord sometimes. And even though we have temper tantrumed him, he is gracious. He is merciful, and he longs to show mercy to us. This is a powerful revelation for us to get about who God is. Because if we'll begin to relate to him this way, it casts off shame. The penalty box goes away. We recognize that when we turn back to him, that he is there receiving us, gracious and compassionate. All right, well, let's talk a little bit about what mercy is. Now we know God's merciful. We got that. Hopefully we're clear. God is merciful, but what does that mean? What does mercy look like? How does that even flesh out? First thing I want to tell you is mercy is the foundation of the gospel. Mercy is the foundation of salvation. Mercy is the foundation of the kingdom of God. Mercy is the foundation of the fact that people can know God, people can get near to God and not be smote by him, not be destroyed. The very fact that we can have relationship with God is all about his mercy. Because the truth of the matter is you and me, on our cleanest day, we still got some junk, some clutter and some funk. And the Lord looks at us and it's the foundation of mercy that allows us to enter into relationship with him. As undeserving people, God shows us infinite mercy. To me, this is one of those profound moments when we have profound revelations that we can have these little moments of pondering, thinking, appreciating the mercy of God. And it's like we can just get washed all over again. One of the most powerful examples of the mercy of God is the fact that though you deserved to go to hell because of your sin, you deserved it. There's nothing you could do to get rid of that dumb thing you did, because you did it. You definitely did that dumb thing. There's nothing you can do to get rid of that. I'm sorry doesn't get rid of it. You still did it. I mean, in a court of law, like, I'm sorry doesn't get you off the hook. But in God's court, it does. How crazy is it that God would allow us to enter into forgiveness and it genuinely cleanse those things that you have done, those things that I've done? We absolutely, by law and by right and by justice, we absolutely deserve hell, and yet he gives us mercy. This is unbelievable. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says it so well. This is how God treats people. It's just crazy. This is how he treats inferior little ants, little pieces of creation, little dust that he organized and just put a little bit of wind in. He gave you a little bit of his breath in some dirt, and now he treats you with incredible dignity. Unbelievable. Romans 5, verse 6. When we were still powerless, I mean totally without hope, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is filled with mercy. It is so much what he's like that the biggest story ever told is all about mercy. The gospel message, Christ died for us while we were still in our sin. We had nothing to offer him. He extended to us incredible mercy. This is how God deals with people. Give you another definition. Mercy is showing favor instead of giving justice. Showing favor instead of giving justice. Jesus, a little bit later in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 43 through 45, he describes this a little bit. He says, you've heard it said, hate your enemy. And you just imagine all of Jesus' hearers went, that's right, I hate my enemies. I'm going to get them and burn their house down as soon as I can figure out how. Burn that thing down. Hate your enemies. You have heard it said, hate your enemies. And they all went, yeah, amen. Amen, brother, preach. He said, I tell you, love your enemies. No, you sit down, preacher. We don't like you. We want to burn your house down. We want to hate our enemies and we want to feel justified about it. He says, no, I want you to love your enemies like God loved you, you sorry sinner. Like, oh, yeah, that part. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you that you may be children of your Father. Be like your Father. Instead of giving justice, they were your enemies for probably real reasons. You probably didn't just randomly choose you, and now you will be my arch nemesis. I will have you in forever written in my life as the arch nemesis of my life for no reason. Your enemies are probably your enemies for a reason. He says, yeah, you were mine for a reason too, believe you me. He says, be like your Father, be children of your Father, be like him. Be of the same nature and of same spirit. He causes his sun to rise on the evil, meaning the evil get sunlight and the evil get rain, the evil get grass and the evil get food and the evil get taken care of, the evil get provision, their kids grow up. He says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. Says, do you understand? He treats his enemies the same way he treats his friends. Ah, that's crazy. This is what he's like. He is merciful. He is abounding in mercy. And he wants for us to be like that. You have heard it said, do those wrong who do you dirty. He says, no, I want you to learn to love and forgive and bless and uplift and support and strengthen. I want you to show favor instead of justice. You leave justice to me. I want you to show mercy. Yikes. Another, maybe a definition that we could call mercy, restraining anger and releasing grace. Restraining anger. We have a lot of emotions that rage inside of us. Those emotions are real. I'm not going to tell you your emotions aren't really happening. I'm telling you, you should ignore most of them. Your emotions will cause you to do the silliest things. Don't follow your heart. That will lead you to hell. Follow the Bible. Follow truth. Follow the love of the Lord. Don't just follow what you're feeling. Your feelings can cause you to be crazy. You want to follow the leading of the Lord. You want to follow what is right and what is good and what is wisdom. Jesus wants us to learn how to restrain many, many negative emotions. You know, I think one of the ways that we're going to be assessed the most is the cesspool of negative emotions in our soul. What do we do with them? Do we give into them? Do we ponder on them? Do we meditate on them? Did we say yes to them? Or did we rebuke them and say, no, I'm not giving into you. Evil emotion that wants me to do something stupid. Like, I know the Lord sees the fight in our inner man. He sees the war waging of all those negative emotions that we feel. He wants us to learn how to get control over them. And instead of releasing anger, he wants us to restrain it. He wants us, instead of releasing anger, he wants us to release grace and favor on those that we're even angry with. Now, let me give you some signs here. Again, what we've been doing in this series, I've been trying to like convict the snot out of me. Okay. And I figure if I can get me, I can hopefully get you too. Okay. I mean, you got to recognize, like, You're listening to this for like 35 minutes. I spent all week looking at these verses and realizing what kind of man I am. Okay? Like, it's terrifying. All right? So I'm asking these questions to myself. And then I get to ask them to you and watch your faces grimace and squirm. Okay? Here's some signs that we're operating in the opposite spirit. So just ask yourself the questions and just get real in your soul. Are we judgmental? Because being judgmental would be the opposite of being merciful. Are we judgmental against people? Are we immediately sizing them up about all that they aren't? Are we immediately, accusing in our heart of how they are that's not good, that's not serving God, that's not helpful? Here's another one, another sign that we're operating in the opposite spirit. Are we harsh in our treatment of others? Harsh. Harshness and mercy are not best friends. Harsh in our interactions. Are we sharp in our communication? I catch myself so frequently sharp in my communication. It's an expression of not mercy. I mean, because how could God in mercy go, I'm getting you into heaven. Mad about it though, but you just come on in. Like, the Lord is not sharp in his communication. He's tender. Tenderness is a avenue, is a on-ramp or an expression of his mercy. It's tender communication. Are we tender in our communication or are we sharp? Are we unforgiving? Unforgiving, it's an immediate judgment that I'm not showing you mercy. I don't even forgive you for the thing you did. Forget being merciful. Forget showing you grace and favor and blessing. I'm just totally going the opposite direction. I am holding that to your charge. I'm going to remember that forever. I'll never forgive you for that. Is that in our heart? Sometimes we don't vocalize everything because we've learned a little bit of Christianese. And so we don't always verbalize everything that we're thinking. But if we're thinking it, it's still in there. Are we unforgiving? Those are signs. A few more tough questions. I just want us to get this. Like, I want us to walk out of here loving mercy, at least a little bit more than we did when we walked in, with a little bit of clarity of what it looks like and how to live it. Some questions in those tough situations. You know, I think that there are certain times where showing mercy is a real test. And then there's other times where, like, you're already in a good mood and you're eating a sucker. And then somebody does something that on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being horrible, they do you dirty in a level 1, but you're already happy and you got a sucker. It's easy to be merciful, okay? But there are times where it was a level 10 offense. It was already a bad day, and a bird pooped on your phone. A bird pooped on my phone the other day. Legitimately, we're at the park. A bird pooped on my phone at the park. We decided to leave the park. It pooped on my phone. I guess I had mercy on the bird because I didn't kill it, but I don't know. If I'd have had something to kill it, I don't know that I wouldn't have done dirty to the bird. That did my phone dirty. It pooped on my phone, people. Okay, I forgive the bird in Jesus' name. Cleanse my soul of all unrighteousness. Help me, God. There are days, though, there are moments where we're interacting with people, and it's mostly times people that we've got close relationship with one way or the other. And there are times where it's super tough to show mercy. I want you to imagine yourself in one of those situations and ask yourself this question about that situation. Last time you were in that situation, maybe when you were on the receiving end, just ask yourself this question about the way that they were reacting with you or the way that you react with others. Are we thinking about that person or only about ourselves? Think about that moment where you've got the opportunity to show mercy. You kind of know you should. But really, you're just so mad about the way they did that thing. The question I'm asking is, are you thinking about them at all? Because I find that when I don't want to show mercy, it's because I'm not thinking about them at all. I'm thinking only about me. I'm thinking only about how their decisions affected my life. I'm thinking only about what this means for me and mine. And I'm not thinking about them. I'm thinking about their good, about their destiny, about their purpose. I'm not thinking about any of it. I want to invite us in those moments to begin to think about them too. Next question. Are we concerned for their soul and their good related to the situation? That situation that If you just come down with the hammer, how's that going to affect them? If you came down with mercy, what would that do for their soul? How would that impact their situation? Thinking about them. I just can't imagine in God's mind and heart when he let any one of us into the kingdom that he was thinking about anything but us. It's like, what did you get to gain from this? You got another heaping mess? Like, wow. Congratulations. You got me. All of me. I mean, the Lord is thinking about us, about our good. And we're invited to think similarly. Are we making our assessment and decision out of anger? We're never to make any decision out of anger. You totally will not make the right decision. I think we're just so used to letting our emotions run wild and do whatever we want. And we live in a culture, I'm telling you, the American culture is screaming at us, do whatever you feel. Feel will lead you to murder. Feel will lead you down 100 bad roads. Do not do what you feel. Don't do that. But we live in a culture where it screams at us, do whatever you're feeling. Whatever you're feeling, that's you. You do you. Don't do you. You'll wind up dead in a ditch. Don't do you. Like, the Lord has these purposes that he wants us to think about. Are we making these decisions out of anger, out of resentment? Or are we thinking with sobriety? Are we thinking out of love, making the decisions? Is the thought about how God feels about this person on our mind at all? Oh, man. It just can't be. I mean, if we're ready to bring the hammer down, we're in that moment where it's like, it's justice time. Right now, vengeance is mine, says the Brad. It's go time. I promise you, we're not thinking about how God feels about them. It's just a great question. Lord, how do you feel about this person in the midst of this brokenness? How do you feel about them? How do you feel right now? This decision they made, this circumstance, this pain they caused me, how do you feel about them? Like, do you still like them? How do you feel? I just think that's a great question to slow us down a minute, cause us to think about what really matters in the kingdom. We have got some wild stories that we don't have time to go into. I'm just going to remind you of them, okay? You guys remember the prodigal son. That whole story is the lavish mercy of God shown to an individual that doesn't merit mercy at all. He already blew the money. And didn't just blow the money. He blew the money like being really ridiculously sinful. Like he looked up, he Googled, what's the worst thing I can do? And he picked the top 10 and he did all 10 of them with the money. Okay? Like he went all out bad, okay? Not the kind of guy that you would think deserves mercy. The father sees him coming a long ways off, runs after him, fattened pig, slaughtered, party time, robe, ring, kisses, hugs. And the other son's like, whoa, dang. Maybe I'm going to take money and run and do something crazy. Like, and the Lord is, he's saying, I'm like this. We have the story of the prodigal son to show us God is merciful. It's what he's like. We have the story of the woman at the well to show us the mercy of God. Jesus starts reading the woman's mail. He starts telling him like, yeah, you've been quite the adulteress. I mean, you have been getting around, lady. He goes, man, I just want to tell you, I forgive you. She didn't even ask for it. Says, I have water that you know not of, that if you drink this living water, it will cleanse you of all that stuff. I want to invite you, though you don't deserve it, I want to invite you into a better life. I want to invite you into freedom. I want to invite you into grace and into love, into mercy. We have the story of the woman at the well for Jesus to show us what he's like. He is abounding in mercy. It's so merciful. The Canaanite woman, you guys know the woman who starts throwing parables back at Jesus, okay? She says, listen, I need you to come heal my daughter. She's got all these issues. She's demon-possessed, and she's suffering greatly. And Jesus says, I know that Jesus did this just so that we have this story. He calls her out hardcore, and he's like, well, but I didn't come to give the dogs food. It's like, I came for the children of Israel. And she totally turns it around on him. And she says, but even the dogs get the crummy crumbs that fall off the table. He says, touche, lady. Touche. And so because she asked for mercy, though he was totally unwilling, he was showing himself, she'd already asked once. Says, I'm not going to give you this thing that you want. But because she asked again and she took it on herself to be humble and approached him, he says, you know what? You blow my mind. I am absolutely going to show you mercy. Though you're undeserving, though you're not even the mission, you're not what I came for, you're not my purpose, you're not the ones that I'm on assignment for right now. Even with all of that being the case, I will still show you mercy. We have these stories to show us what he's like. He is abounding in mercy. The unmerciful servant. I want to read this one. Let's put this one up. Oh, you've been putting them all up. Look at you. You're doing great. All right, so put the Matthew 18 up there. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. A man was not able to pay, and the servant fell on his knees before him. He said, "Be patient with me," he begged. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and he let him go. But when that servant found one who owed him money, he went off and he had that man thrown into prison. The master called that servant in. "You wicked servant. What's wrong with you, man?" He said, "I canceled all that debt. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant?" His master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother and your sister from your heart." Uh-oh. It's more than a good idea. There's consequences. This mercy thing, God is so merciful, he demands it of us. He's like, "I am merciful. I have shown you so much forgiveness of debt. You better forgive that other person or I'm going to hold it to your charge." Says, "You're going to be in trouble." These are the words of Jesus. The merciful Jesus that was doing the forgiveness of the woman at the well and the prodigal son. Same Jesus. He says, "I want to tell you how much I'm like this. You better be too." Says, it's important. You need to show mercy to those around you because you've been shown so much. We read this story and we're like, "I can't believe that servant did that." And we do the same thing. We do the same thing. In fact, our forgiveness was more than however much that guy owed money. The forgiveness we've been offered, so much more. But I'm going to hold charge to this person because they said something mean about me. They ought to go to hell because of that. Can't believe they said something mean about me. They took $10 from me. Hell, for sure. Like, we're a mess. We are totally a train wreck. Because we think this way. We take the grace of God, the mercy that's been shown to us, we totally forget it. And when somebody does something level one bad to us, on a scale of one to about a billion, we're like totally knotted up about it. And Jesus says, "You need to remember how much debt I forgave. You just need to go ahead and forgive them whatever it is that they did. And I want to tell you, if you don't, my Father is not going to forgive you." Look at this. This is how my heavenly Father, Abba, this is how Abba will treat each of you. Unless you forgive your brother and sister from your heart. It's more than an invitation. This is the way of the kingdom. And I'll say this. I think it's a hard way. I think it's tough for us. I don't think this comes naturally. This is not a natural byproduct of our heart. This takes some reaching. This takes some, "Oh, Holy Spirit, help me because I don't wanna." And I think that it'll help us. We've been called to be merciful because he is. Luke 6:36. So we just gave all these parables and there's a bunch more. Luke 6:36 says, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." It says the same thing in the parable we just read. We're supposed to do it because he is. We're supposed to be like this because this is what he's like. Be merciful because he's merciful. I love this verse in Matthew 9:13. I think this actually gives us hope. Matthew 9:13. "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I love this. When Jesus says, "Go learn something," one, I'm just intrigued that Jesus would even say that statement. Like, here's something I want to highlight as something you ought to learn. And two, if Jesus is saying, "Go learn it," it's learnable. Even for us folks without the highest IQ, okay? We can learn me good. If Jesus says, "Go and learn what this means," we can learn. It also means it's a journey. It means that it's a process. It means it's something that we don't get an instant download and now we know it fully. It's something we must learn. We must go on the journey of learning what it means that he desires mercy, that he is merciful, and that he wants us to walk in that way. I want us to walk out of here going, Lord, in your just personal devotional life and your prayer times, car ride home, whatever, your boohoo hour with the Lord, I want for you to be crying out, God, teach me mercy. Teach me. It's not native to me. This soil does not know how to do that on its own. Will you help me? Will you teach me what it means that you desire mercy? Will you teach me what it means for me to operate in mercy? Mercy, mercy's powerful. I mean, the moment of God's mercy shown to you is the most profound moment in your existence. It is the most powerful thing. It took you, mercy took you from death to life. Mercy took you from hell forever. You were going to be in hell forever. It was going to be hot forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and hopeless and dark and bad forever. And you went from that to heaven, an awesome and glory and resurrected body in a second. The heck? The heck is that? That is the most powerful moment in your life. Let me tell you something. You have that power. And you can show it to your friend. You have the power to operate in the God orchestration of mercy. That power, which was the most powerful thing in your life ever, you can do it. In fact, you're supposed to be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You can operate in that power. I'll tell you this. There have been a couple of times. There have been some key moments where, thank you, Jesus, I did it right. And I saw the power of mercy touch somebody's life. They were messed up forever. Still are. Where mercy was shown in just a lavish way. Where they probably were expecting the hammer. I might have been expecting the hammer. And mercy came a-running. And all of a sudden, their life was transformed. It was profound. It was impacting. Because there are moments in your life where you have the power to change somebody's life. I'm not even just talking about preaching the gospel. I'm talking about your friend that's in deep darkness. And they're trying to walk with the Lord sometimes, and then they're not. I'm talking about those moments where somebody just does you so wrong, and you have every reason in the natural to totally be unforgiving, and you just give them mercy. Say, I completely forgive you. I hold nothing to your charge, and here's a chocolate chip cookie made just for you. Where you show them mercy, unmerited mercy. Unwarranted, unearnable. You have the power to touch people's lives in a profound way. It is unbelievable when that sort of expression of mercy comes out of a human to another human. We're just barely able to get our mind around how God could do it, but when a human does it, it's like double mind blown. I cannot believe that person just dealt with me that way. They're a human. They're frail like me. You have the power of mercy living within you. And we are told we can make the kind of kingdom impact that will totally transform a person by showing them mercy in those moments. You need to discern when those moments are. Because there are powerful moments that we're given it in rare occasion. It's not every day, these specific scenario that I'm describing here. But there are moments in your life, you'll have them happen. Where you can, instead of doing what would maybe be most natural, maybe what your friends would say you should do, instead show unbelievable mercy and watch what happens to that heart. Watch what happens. James 2 talks about us using our speech and using our actions to make great impact. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged. Yuck. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy. He wants us to be like this. He wants us to look for opportunities to be merciful. Until I sit down and spend time reading on mercy and studying mercy and praying about mercy, I don't even think about trying to look for opportunities to be merciful. He wants us to look for opportunities. He wants us to show mercy in outlandish ways. It's so pleasing to him. Just going to give you a few of those that you might find yourself in relationship with or in a situation where you could show mercy. The needy, those in scandalous sin, those who annoy us greatly. Show mercy. Show mercy to me. Those who are different from us, those who mistreat us, those who break their promises, those we lead. Any leader in the room, you will have to show mercy or you will not continue to lead, because they will absolutely disappoint and do things they shouldn't and hurt you and speak evil about you, though you were doing your absolute best. As leaders, you will have to show mercy. Those who spitefully use us, our families, there are going to be moments our families need mercy. Those who are suffering, those who are overwhelmed. You know, it's so normal for us to treat everybody the same, but when somebody's totally overwhelmed, they really can't do the thing that the person next to them is doing. Show mercy. Foster care, adoption. I mean, there are some powerful ways that we can show mercy in profound ways in people's lives. Well, I'm going to spend 2 minutes on this and we're going to close out. I want to talk about the blessings for the merciful. Let's put that verse back up there, Matthew 5:7. It's where we started. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. This verse tells us two things. One, it gives us a blanket statement that if you are merciful, which God says be merciful, but God also says if you'll do the thing I told you you have to do or you'll be in deep doo-doo, if you do it, you'll be blessed. So it's not just you get out of jail, you'll also get like rewarded big time. He says you will be blessed if you're merciful. So there's this blanket statement of blessing that if you are merciful, you can count on it from heaven. God doesn't lie. Jesus is really, really good at accounting too. If you are merciful, there is a promise of blessing related to that act of mercy that you just gave. Big act of mercy, little act of mercy, daily, yearly. Whatever act of mercy, he promises you will be blessed if you are merciful. But then he describes one, not the only, but one specific way that you will be blessed. If you are merciful, you will be shown more mercy. God, who is infinite in mercy, will give you more mercy. If you're not merciful, you won't get that extra allotment of mercy. But if you are merciful, he'll be even more merciful to you. He will deal with you in mercy. And remember what you did yesterday, this morning, right now. I can't believe you just thought that about me. Right now. I mean, he will show you more mercy if you show others mercy. This is actually like a really good deal because I know me. I really, really know me. And there are parts that I'm like, oh God, can you just crucify this dead man? Please, please. There are aspects of our heart and life we desperately need more mercy, more, more. And he says, if you'll operate in mercy to others, you can count on the allocation of additional mercy from heaven towards you. It also works just with our natural relationships. If you're merciful to that friend, to that enemy, you're merciful to that neighbor, the most natural response to mercy is mercy. The most natural response to mercy isn't, you know, a grenade in your living room. I mean, it's like when you're merciful to somebody, they're so like, that's not from earth. Like, that's from someplace else. Where did you get this? Wow, I'll bake you a cookie next week. Make you two. You're going to get two cookies, one chocolate, one vanilla cookie. Like, the natural response of mercy is mercy. When we show mercy to people, the natural inclination of their heart, the response is they want to be merciful back, at least as long as they're remembering it. That's pretty awesome. This is a way for the culture of the kingdom to grow and to perpetuate, to move and to become infectious in the kingdom of God. We show mercy and mercy is shown in return. God sees us showing mercy. His pleasure is on us. He shows us additional mercy. And in addition, we need to also understand that all the Beatitudes describe heavenly, eternal reward situations. Jesus describes in all the Beatitudes, go look at them, All of them describe, if we will live these ways, we'll be blessed not only in this age, we'll be blessed in the next age. God will show us additional favor and grace and mercy in the next life if we lived a life according to mercy in this age. I just think there's going to be some people that nobody's ever heard of before, that like they were epic at mercy. They didn't have a TV program. Nobody ever knew them. They weren't a big deal on earth. But they were so merciful because they got a hold of this. And we're going to graduate and we're going to stand upstairs, all of us, and we're going to go, dang, that house is big. Where'd you get that? I was merciful. I never heard of you. Well, you don't have to be heard of to be merciful. God said he would bless me. God said he would show mercy on me. So you never heard of me down there, did you? No? Well, look at me now. Heard of me now? God had mercy on me, didn't he? You see, the Lord promises us eternal rewards for the little movements of our heart now. The Beatitudes are so much about the Lord trying to get us to live for another age, to not live like we only exist for 70, 80, 90, 100 years, that we're going to live forever, and that our life forever will be impacted by the decisions that we make now.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.